Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears, Carrington Nelson, Matt Morgan, back on this history-making day. But the sappy stuff is over, because it's time to get back to what made this show, where we made our bones, arguing with each other. By the way, it was nice to see your mom today, and Carrington's mom is who I'm pointing at here. And I don't think we saw your family, Matt, but I'm sure they were busy.
I don't think I invited them.
Well, there you go. My family didn't show up. I was sad, though, because I got home. I was home tonight for like 10 minutes before I had to come here because we went to dinner after everything, and then I had to go get my car because I was around, being driven around the entire time. Was it Passenger Princess?
Yeah, you're Passenger Princess.
I think it's Prince. I think Passenger Craig had, I think it was Passenger Prince. And so I'm home for like 10 minutes and I hit the message button and it's my mom going, when is one of these events so I can come to them? Now I'm going to have to call and say, don't you read the paper?
Poor mom. Did you not tell her?
Well, no. My mom doesn't come to my stuff. We're past that point.
Aw, she wanted to, clearly.
I'll send her a video.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway. Oh, I know what we have to talk about here. The Withrow Waffles. Now, you think this is going to be sappy because of everything we've just talked about. This is going to be a fight, I guarantee you. Because here's what happened. Not Primrose. That's where Mary Ellen lives. At Kingston this morning. See? I have it, too. I have that thing.
Forgetfulness?
Early dementia.
Early onset dementia.
Yeah, it's coming in. So, this morning, they had Withrow waffles at Kingston, which is Mary Ellen's recipe to make waffles. Okay. Now, the recipe, everybody got the recipe card that she used to pass out during campaigns at Kingston, who attended today, got a laminated recipe card. Okay. In any event, Carrington said, oh, I wish I could have had some waffles. And I said, you need to make those waffles for us if you're going to do it. So, I know this is going to be a fight, but let's get into it. We were talking about it a little bit before the show tonight. What's going on with the Withrow waffles? Because I think you're going to make them, or somebody's going to, and you're going to try them before we're around, and then it's going to sneak out one day, and you're going to try to say, oh, this is the first time, and it's going to get, we're going to be ticked.
I guess now that you're addressing it on air, I'm going to seem like...
You thought I wouldn't address it on the air?
No, I thought I could just breeze by. I just said, I wish I would have been here.
Have you ever breezed by with anything on this show?
No, and neither have you. So
neither have
right.
I. There you go.
No, but they had a breakfast-making class they could have gone to learn how to make the Withrow waffles. And I was like, what the heck? Like, we were up giving speeches at 8 a.m., and they were doing a waffle-making class at Kingston.
We were giving a speech this morning. We couldn't go over there.
I know, but I wish we could have. I would have.
But we have the recipe.
I know, but...
No, so what I think you're missing the point of what I'm saying here. So what I'm saying, I think you're going to try to make these, or somebody's going to try to make these for you. You'll try to coax them into doing it. And you'll try it and not tell us when we're saying you need to make them for us. Isn't that what's going on here, Matt?
That's not how
and we'll
this
try
works.
Them all together.
Yeah. You want to make
there you go.
Why can't Matt make them for us?
No. Because
you're the woman.
Whoa.
There you go. Rattled some windows there. Oh, man. Misogyny galore. There it was.
I just think that this day has been about breaking those glass ceilings and...
We broke one there.
Right.
We broke a glass ceiling there.
I think that to follow up on that Matt should make the waffles because
you're
men
right.
can cook too.
I really think you making waffles for us is going to set women back like 30 years if you do that. I mean,
women
it's going to be a whole problem.
In trouble.
They're Withrow waffles, for God's sake.
I know. That's why I was
we're
like,
putting it on
delicious.
You, by the way. That was a joke. I don't want to catch any heat for that. Because you're the one who eats like crazy everywhere we go, and you're the one who wants to make them. So we feel that because this event has become holy now, that we should be included.
That's fair. I'll see what I can do. Maybe for like Wednesday.
Oh, by the way, we saw John and Carolyn Heimlich there today. I'm so glad Carolyn was able to make it out. So I know they're listening tonight.
Yeah, thanks for coming, you guys. It was nice to see you. I'll try.
Now, what are you going to try? I mean, what are you doing here? Because I don't want like some mishap. Like Wednesday comes and I heard about it.
She's going to poison us.
Oh.
Okay. Do we want to like make them on Wednesday here together, or is it like
you gonna like bring a waffle iron here?
I don't know if I have a waffle iron. Like
you're gonna have to have a waffle iron. You can't make waffles without a waffle iron.
I don't get paid for the show. This is getting expensive.
Hey.
This is getting expensive. I'm just gonna buy a waffle iron.
No. Nobody's saying you have to buy a waffle iron. What I would do is ask if somebody has a waffle. Maybe I have a waffle iron.
Do you have a waffle iron, Scott?
I probably could come by a waffle iron. Okay. I think I do have one, a matter of fact. But if I don't, I know where to get one.
I think my mom has a waffle iron.
Of course.
Well, that's so convenient.
Your mom doesn't own a waffle iron?
Everybody that doesn't want to make the waffles has a waffle iron.
Your mom, who cooked Christmas meat morning breakfast, doesn't have a waffle iron?
I don't know. We're not like a huge waffle-eating family. That's not what we make whenever we have breakfast.
You seem like wafflers to me.
We seem like waffle people.
Yeah.
It's a misconception. It comes often.
Let go of my ego.
Yeah.
So, here's the deal.
Okay.
Okay, so what are we going to do? Because we need to get this down. Because, like I said, I don't want any, like, days to pass. And then, oh, guess what I did last night, guys? I tried some waffles.
Okay, what if...
Blah, 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 made them up, and I you're going to tick us off. I'm just telling
well,
you right
now. I don't want to tick anybody off, so maybe Wednesday I could bring the batter, and then somebody could bring the waffle iron.
You want to turn the show into a cooking show, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying, I think people like to see us act natural. We're going to brush our teeth 1 week, too, so we've got a lot planned for the Wednesday night show.
I thought, didn't you get the impression earlier on that this was going to be not so much a visual thing, but it was going to be more of a like, you invite us somewhere and we do it and then we can talk about it. That's how I saw it.
Oh, why did you get that impression?
Didn't you get that impression?
I was unsure. I didn't know.
I didn't think we were bringing a waffle iron in here. I never got that impression.
Yeah, I thought we were going somewhere to...
Yeah, that's what it came off like. Mm-hmm. We're going to make an event of it. I think you said that at one point.
Oh, we'll make an event of it. I mean, Wednesday night's an event. We can try to make a separate event of it. I'm fine with that.
No, I thought that's what you were saying. I don't want to, you know, self-invite here.
No, you're not imposing. I just thought, I wasn't sure. There was just some miscommunication. We should hash this out now.
Matter of fact, we could do both.
We make waffles Wednesday and have a waffle-making event.
Well, I think the waffle-making event would be the dry run, because that's where you work out all the kinks, because you don't want to go to the television and then have it all just crap out.
That's true. We could go to your house, Scott, and we can make waffles.
Oh, that
there.
Sounds like a good time.
Not to invite myself over.
Oh, just come on over. We'll have a big waffle-making party at my house.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You know what? Where's the recipe? You don't have it with you, do
I
you?
Do.
Oh,
I
well,
do.
Pop
it's
it out.
My purse.
All right, for you at home, get your pen and paper. We're about to give you the Withrow waffle recipe, if you'd like to know. Okay, this is what we'll have. Matt, you work in a grocery store, I heard? Okay. Here's what we'll need. Go ahead.
Withrow waffles. Ingredients. We need 4 eggs.
We can do that.
2 cups of sifted flour.
Now remember, sifted.
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 A teaspoon of salt.
Okay, I got that.
A teaspoon of baking powder.
I got that.
A teaspoon of baking soda.
Got that.
And 2 cups of buttermilk, or
not that.
Or 1 cup of sour cream mixed with 1 cup of milk.
I'd go with the buttermilk, but I don't have that.
Yeah. Okay, we need buttermilk, and then 1 cup of melted butter.
I might have butter.
Okay.
So basically what you guys need to get is the butter, the buttermilk, and the eggs.
Okay.
I think I have the rest.
We can
do
that.
You don't have butter?
I don't really butter a lot of things. I'm not a big toast person. I don't add butter to stuff. Not really, no.
Oh, so this cup of butter and this is going to really cause issues.
Well, no, it's a waffle. But you're putting this into a waffle form. It's going to come out like a waffle. It's not going to come out tasting like butter.
We have some preparation instructions here. So we need to beat the eggs until light.
And then
we'll bring out the old whisk.
Yeah,
whisk those eggs. Then we got to sift the flour, salt, and baking powder together.
You don't have to get Sean over with the cameras. It'll be a real blue chip event.
You can see us work.
See us all working in the kitchen.
We gotta add the dry ingredients and buttermilk alternately to beaten eggs, beginning and ending with flour mixture. So, gotta go back and forth there.
Was that the whole recipe?
I mean, the
that's
ingredients.
That's like a lot of work there. That's just...
No, then we gotta add the melted butter and blend thoroughly.
It's going to be a thing.
And that makes about 4 cups of batter or about 4 large waffles. And coincidentally, there are 4 of us.
Ah, there you go. And you put it in a waffle iron.
We do.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. Oh, and we do need to thank Sean for all the driving that he did, crisscrossing the county with Mary Ellen and me along the way, and all the camera work. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we appreciate that, certainly. But, okay. But, you know, this will be interesting.
I'm excited. I like waffles. They're my favorite. French toast waffles.
We're
going to
have a big
pancakes.
Waffle party. You know you know how earlier on in the first hour you said, I would have never dreamed a year ago that I would have been doing these speeches. I would have never dreamed a year ago that I'd be hosting a waffle making party. That's just hip.
End up in crazy places.
Oh, it's hip.
You hang out with the youth, you know?
At Pharmacy Girl's House or wherever it ends up being.
Yeah, wherever it ends up being.
Pharmacy Girl's House.
I've been to Pharmacy Girl's House. We spent Christmas Eve at Pharmacy Girl's House watching a movie.
We did. Some of us watched, some of us napped.
Some of us did nap.
The movie was on.
Some of us were a little salty that morning, even for Christmas Eve.
Some of us were up earlier than we normally are, so sue me.
What do you think? We rolled out of bed and rolled all over?
That was my plan.
Well, that ain't how it worked. We had to get in a car and drive on over.
Oh, my mom said she's open to anyone that wants to buy a waffle iron for her.
She doesn't have a waffle iron.
She does not have a waffle iron.
Oh, my dear Lord. I thought if anybody would have had a waffle iron, she would have had a waffle iron.
No, she likes to bake. It's more of desserts. Breakfast is honestly her weakness. We've discussed this before.
You brought us over for her weakness on Christmas Eve?
Well, yes.
We'd have shown up for lunch.
I mean, she did the casserole or like awesome thing. The Denver on.
Feeders now I'm learning. like we're experimental gerbils in some kind of laboratory somewhere.
She's been practicing for years. It's just like she didn't make pancakes for a reason. Those never go well. She ends up like on the verge of saying words she normally doesn't say when she makes pancakes. Like pancakes are not good for her.
I love pancakes.
Did you really think we were the judgmental type? We're going to walk out of there and go, gee whiz, those pancakes just didn't look right.
Sometimes they're like a pancake pile more than a pancake.
Never going back to that restaurant. So. That's going to need work.
Yeah, she would have hated that. She prides herself on her cooking and baking. So.
You know, I never got, she used to send things. That all stopped. She met us and she didn't like us,
what
I think
do you
is
mean?
What happened. Cookies would show up here in the early days.
I literally brought you chicken sandwiches like a month ago.
Oh, yeah, those are some good chicken sandwiches.
I don't think, did I eat one? I don't remember it.
Yes.
Honestly,
I made them for everyone and I said, here, you want this chicken
sandwich?
Oh,
that is right. You did hand it to me. I remember that now. Yeah, those were good. Those were good. No, but you used to bring like baked goods on Friday night. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that was also a little more during the holiday season and she goes
no,
a little
it wasn't.
Crazy.
That was summer.
Was it?
Yes. That was like the end of summer.
I brought
early
cookies
fall.
A couple times.
Yeah, cookies.
If she makes stuff, don't worry. I'll bring it.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, she
I'm not
she
saying it's bad. Nobody
day.
Else
she
is bringing anything,
it.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah, you miss it.
What's that? You know, it used to be a thing.
I get it. I love when my mom cooks, so.
All right. So, we're going to have the Withrow Waffle Party soon. I can invite Mary Ellen over. To put her to work.
Yes. She'll stir.
Mary Ellen's been over to, you know, Mary Ellen's been over to the house. I can invite her over.
Okay, good. She should be there for her waffles.
Yeah. At the Memorial Day cookout this year, Matt, you'll come again and I'll invite Mary Ellen again, like she always, and we'll just start making waffles. It'll be wonderful.
Bring in the cookout. It's Memorial Day breakfast.
Memorial Day breakfast. So, we'll get it done.
Oh, no, you can eat waffles any time of the day, honestly.
Yeah, that's the food of champions.
That's true.
Put on your
burgers
waffles.
And waffles. Syrup and, like, butter. I don't really like the chocolate. I mean, chocolate chips are okay, but, like, don't put any blueberries in there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't really like blueberries.
Mary Ellen also does these things called gumdrop bars that I've never seen anybody else do. I have a recipe card of that somewhere from her, and boy, those are good. But it's one of those things, you know, like the person has to make them. I've never met anybody else who made them.
Okay.
And it's from her, like, own recipe. So it's scratch stuff.
Does it taste like gumdrops?
It's got gumdrops in it.
Interesting.
She used to make them a lot, and she would bring them to the radio because she knew that was my favorite, and she would drop them off. And that is the honest to goodness truth. That's a Mary Ellen. This is Mary Ellen Day. That's the Treasury of the United States would show up with a plate with tinfoil over top of it, and it would be gumdrop bars. And she wasn't stopping by to be a guest on the show. She was stopping by to drop off gumdrop bars. You know, that's her.
That's so sweet.
Mary Ellen would say, "Why? What are you doing here? What's going on?" She said, "I was making these last night, and I know you like them, and I wanted to make sure you got some."
Aww.
Oh, those are good.
Are they like cookies, or is it different? Like, is it a gelatin texture?
I don't think I have the recipe here, but no, it's they have real gumdrops in them, but they, it's kind of like a bar.
Like a granola bar?
Not a granola bar. It's not that texture.
What's the other content besides the gumdrops?
I've never made them. I don't even know that I've looked at the recipe.
Okay.
But
I'm just
trying
to envision
this. There's gumdrops in them. They're not sweet. That's why I like them, because I'm not a big sweets person.
Yeah.
And they're not chocolate, which that's good, because I'm not a big chocolate person. But it's just kind of like a bar. They're bar shaped, like a granola bar shape, but they're not. They're a little more solid than that. They're not super sweet, but they do have gumdrops in them.
Okay.
It's good.
Interesting.
They're very good.
I'd be interested to try them. I'm not a huge gumdrop fan, so I'm like...
Can we put Mary Ellen to work?
Yeah.
So Mary Ellen, can you make some gumdrop bars?
Yeah, and we'll make the waffles. She'll make
Here's
the gumdrop bars.
Here's what I want. You know, Mary Ellen, can I put the order in for some gumdrop bars?
Yeah. Yep. I'm interested.
We'll work on it. All right, now let's get to a current event. We got 30 minutes left to go. So we're going to do the Withrow waffles.
Do we have a top 10 list?
No, we did it earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, we did. We only had one today. They'll be back. They'll be back, though. All right, so is there anything we haven't covered before we get into the current events here? Anything you want to say?
No, not that I can think of. I'm glad to do all this. It's been fun. Had a great 2 days.
But we're going
to
do the Withrow waffles soon. Because, you know, we don't want to get out of the month with that, you know, because this will linger.
It's Mary Ellen Withrow month.
It really is at this point.
Withrow month. We've got to celebrate.
We got to celebrate. And tomorrow night's the big women's club dance for our friend Linda, who's in the competition. So, Linda, I hope you take it home tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
So, I'm glad to know that that's going on. It's all Linda Day.
Yes, get it, Linda.
Linda, I think, has got a good chance to win tomorrow night. Good for
I
the station.
I believe in her.
Good for the station. Let's see here. Well, we did some of these topics the other night, but we really went through them on the television show. So some of these are interesting. Let's do this one. Jodie Turner Smith has recently got a divorce, but she says divorce is not a failure. It just didn't work out. And she appreciates a beautiful moment shared with that person. Thoughts on that? We talked about marriage and divorce a lot on this show.
One of our favorite topics, I would
say. It really is. Well, you know, they come, they go.
I mean, I would think if you got married to somebody, there would have to have been some kind of good moment there at some point. So as she phrased it, beautiful moment, right?
You got to have liked this whole idea that I never liked the person or they were the wrong one. You know, that's very hypocritical in a way, because you were with them for some reason, I guess. So there had to be something good there. There had to be something you liked. You can't tell me it was all misery.
Yeah. I mean, in her statement, though, she's saying it's not a failure. And I think that, like, a divorce kind of is, because whenever you sign up for the whole marriage thing, it's like sickness and in health, and
one
for better
two.
Or for worse, like,
one
you're supposed
two.
To... That's fine. There's a lot of failures out there. That's okay. And I'm not saying you're a failure entirely, like, for getting a divorce, but, like, the marriage not working out is kind of a failure of the marriage. But, like, you can still have good moments and, like, not
but
regret
she's
it.
She's saying she is not willing to accept her divorce as a failure. She's saying divorce is not a failure. It just didn't work out. And she remembers that as just a beautiful moment shared between two people that didn't work out. Not a failure.
I'm not saying that she's a failure. But, like, the fact that whenever
that just sounds like
forever.
A person. What this sounds like to me is somebody who feels like a failure who's trying to talk themselves out of it.
Yeah, she's trying to convince herself she didn't
fail. I'm not a failure. It was a wonderful experience.
Well, and I'm sure there's guilt associated
That's like
with
a,
it.
You know,
somewhat.
Let's say you play football, okay? And you go out and you have the football game and you don't win. We didn't lose. We played our best. It was so fun being with you, the guys out there. It was a beautiful moment. We didn't lose. Yep. That wouldn't have failed. You lost.
That's Listen, always your speech
you
after the final
lost.
Game.
Sorry.
Yep.
Whether you like it or not, you lost.
Yeah. And that's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah. And like
being a good loser is a very hard thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, if they're taking it, like I said, even if this is, like, a failure, and, I mean, the sense that, like, it didn't work out whenever, you know, when you sign up for the marriage, you're saying this is forever. So, like, in that sense, it is a failure. But, like, that's okay. We don't have to always be non-failures at everything. You're allowed to fail sometimes. And, like, you try again, or you
don't. Well, nobody's
don't.
Perfect, but I think people think divorce is a big failure.
Okay. Well, it's not. I mean, make it what it is to you. Like, if you're... if you're feeling like a failure and this is your way of trying to not feel guilty for it, like, that's, you know, on your own conscience.
But my question is, as we the public, can we look at divorce and say it's not a failure? Because we're the ones judging. She's going to have to deal with it herself. She's the one who got divorced. But I think that's more of a how we're perceiving it.
I still think it's a failure. Like, I mean, whenever you sign up for it, you're saying this is supposed to be forever.
Think twice before you get the paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could have a long-term relationship, I guess, and you can break out after 13 years if you're together all that time and you didn't sign your forever documents. So, like, that's fine. Yeah, it didn't work out. But when you sign the forever documents and then you say, not forever, that's kind of a failure.
See, I feel like an authority on this subject because there were two times at least in my life that I know for sure I could have gotten married. Absolutely guaranteed could have happened.
When you were engaged.
Well, that's up for debate. But yes, that could have happened. There was no doubt in my mind if I wanted to be married then it could have happened.
For sure.
And there was another time that it was talked about, but we stopped talking about it pretty quick.
Your hand starts sweating. Yeah, and you're like,
let's not talk about that topic anymore. Because I've seen that go bad before. So I know there are two times that if I would have pursued it with the person, it would have happened in my life. And I never did because I knew it was wrong for me. So it didn't happen. And so I avoided. So I do think it's a failure because I avoided those. And maybe that's why I'm judgmental of other people, because they didn't avoid them and I did. I knew. I could have. It's not like I never had the opportunity to. I did. But I just didn't do it because I was perceptive enough to know that that wasn't going to work.
Yeah. Sometimes people will get married or make decisions and I'm like, oh my gosh, like if I was in your position right now, you know, it's people like the same age as me, and I'm like, I don't think I could feel confident in that. Like, that's crazy that they feel confident enough to be able to do this right now. And then I'll start thinking and I'm like, are they more confident or are they just less self-aware than me? Like, maybe they're,
I think
just
it's
going
very hard
doing things.
I think it's very hard to say no to a proposal. I think that gets a lot of people, and once you've said yes, it's hard to go back, even if you're having second thoughts and say, maybe we shouldn't. That's hard to do because now your family knows and now the world knows that the proposals happen. And it's
especially
very hard
if it's a public proposal.
It's very hard to walk it back. And I think herein lies the problem. And you know, I don't know what you do. I guess you just say no. Proposals are spur of the moment because you don't. The idea is you're not supposed to know they're coming, which I don't really understand. Who came up with the idea of getting down on one knee, surprise, will you marry me for life?
No, I don't like that.
Shouldn't it be more of a conversation?
Yes. Make it a conversation, and then you can talk, and then, like, they can do the proposal thing later, but, like, you better be knowing they're going to say yes, or else, like, that's awful.
Well, I know both of those girls would have said yes, because the one, I think, thought it was coming anyway, and the other one, we talked about it, and I know if I would have, we could have went to the courthouse that afternoon, and it would have been done. So, it would have happened, but there was no way. No way.
Yeah. You're self-aware. You knew it wasn't for you.
I was self-aware in that. So I do feel judgmental. Because people will say, well, you've never been married. Listen, the opportunities were there. I just didn't do it. There's a reason I'm not married. I was self-aware.
Matt, what's your opinion on the proposal? Do you think it should be something that's talked about in advance, or do you like the current system of surprise?
I think you should probably talk about it in advance, because, I mean, I understand that it's, I guess, quote-unquote tradition to not, I don't know, but, like, I think you run the risk of looking goofy if they say no. But also, I think that in terms of, even if it is a, like, spur-of-the-moment surprise, like, will you marry me thing, I don't think you should do a public engagement, because I feel like then it puts pressure on the other person to say yes, because then there's, like, a whole bunch of people standing around you, like, waiting for the answer. So, like, if you say no, you're going to feel bad because you just crushed this person's dreams in front of, you know, everybody.
Do you think if you actually had a conversation about it that people would say yes, that an agreement would be made rather than will you, just a question?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they would talk about it more.
I don't think it would happen.
You don't think so?
No, I think if people actually had to sit down and think it through and it was more of an agreement than a question, I think that's a whole different conversation to have.
How so? What do you mean?
Because if I say, will you marry me, you got two answers, yes or no. And if it's yes, we're in. If it's no, we ain't talking, because now you've ticked me off, because I thought this was going to go somewhere. If we sit down and it's, should we get married? You know, I think this would be good. This would be a plus. And you say, well, That's a whole different conversation, and it's hard to come to a yes on that one because there's going to be conversation rather than yes or no.
Right. Difficult, but necessary, because we talk about previously the divorce rate being, you know, one in every two.
Yeah, but why do people get the... See, this is why... Listen, I am not against marriages. I am not against whatever you want to love, whatever, have it. I'm against multiple marriages. I think it looks ridiculous, and I'm sorry. I just do. It's to me, it's so hypocritical when you get over three. I'll give you one, and I'll give you... You know, I even hate to say this because honestly, there are people who I know who've been married multiple times, and I it's not the same. There are certain people who I know are doing it idiotically, and that to me is the point. I guess it's not the number. It's hard to put a number on it. Four is a number. I really think if you get to four, I think you should be looking at it, because if you go for five, listen, that's a hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, how old are you? Old figure. Now, if you've been married four times and you're like 70, well, maybe some died. You know, maybe some things happened there.
Yeah, but that's not like a divorce. That you're a widow and then you just, you know, do it again.
Yeah, but you got to figure here. If you are 70 and you've been married four times, that's 50 years of possible dating and blah, blah, blah. If you have been married and divorced four times and you're in your 40s, that's 20 years. You know, you're averaging a marriage every 3 years. This is different. I think that's where I have a problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just seems like you're rushing into things. Like, you're obviously not thinking it through entirely because you're getting married every 3 years. And how can somebody talk themselves?
I mean, how can you even have the argument with yourself? I mean, you don't have to have the argument with me. If you don't care what I think, that's fine. But how can you even have the argument with yourself that that looks good, that that's a good look?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. How do you convince yourself?
I think at some point you would have to at least start to look at yourself as a possible problem. Because, like, if you've been married that many times and it didn't work with that many people, then maybe... I mean, I guess in theory you could just be picking awful people. But, like, if you've picked that many people and given it that many chances, I think you might have to start doing some, like, soul-searching kind of thing.
So, Jodie Turner-Smith, I'm sorry. Your divorce is a failure. You can remember the beautiful moments in it all. But it's a failure.
Yeah, I mean, you said forever, and then it wasn't forever, so...
But I remember good moments with people.
Yeah. Still remember good moments in a failure. Yes.
Good.
Like the sports game we're talking about. You know, you failed. You lost. But, you know, maybe you scored a goal in it. You still had good times out there on the field.
Yeah, I think it's always good when you score. I think that's important. Go ahead, caller.
When Scott talks about his former love life, I'm... reminded of the scene in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, when the ghost of Christmas past takes a young, or takes Ebenezer Scrooge back to see where his relationship with Belle fell apart, and he's all like sad and dejected about it.
Now, is this the George C. Scott version of A Christmas Carol?
Yeah, any of them.
Okay.
Any of them.
Well, I like that. I'm just going to go with that version. But, yeah, but he feels bad about that. See, when he goes back and the ghost of Christmas past takes him back and looks at it, he's depressed because he sees what he's lost. If a ghost came in the middle of the night, let's say tonight, and took me back to these moments, it'd be more like a comedy.
Yeah.
Wow.
She wouldn't make me waffles at a whim.
That's right. What was wrong with me? And when you see her married to somebody else, that's what happened with Belle in A Christmas Carol, and she's living and got 18 kids with somebody else, you say, boy, I dodged that bullet. That's how I feel. What a bullet I dodged.
Scott, I don't know what we're going to have to do. We've got to get you paired up with somebody, buddy.
You know, it's just not in my DNA, but isn't it good that I'm self-aware of this?
Yeah, I guess.
Would you want me to marry these women that I'd be divorced from now, and I'd be racking up numbers like this Jodie Turner-Smith? I'd be racking up failures like nobody's business.
What would you talk about on the radio
nothing.
Yeah, you couldn't talk about how divorce is a failure. You'd be like, oh, gosh.
Ruin my whole gig.
Right?
You're Mary's most eligible bachelor, Scott.
I think that's true. I would not disagree with that.
You got to wear that crown with pride, and you have to tempt all these women.
Well, listen, you know, they just throw
instead of wearing that scarf, just like unbutton, you know, top three or four buttons on your shirt and...
Somebody else holds that mantle of unbuttoning the top three or four buttons. That's not me. But, you know, listen, it's always been good in my neighborhood, but there's a certain part. You know, it's like I don't want to drive out of town with them. I'll stay in town with them. We'll drive around the city, but we don't need to go out of town. There's a certain level that I'm not willing to go along. You know, there's just time.
Is that in case there's some hot babe in the next town over?
Honestly, I don't like to drive to see people. But no matter how just great they would be, I mean, how far are we talking I have to drive here? Is it over 20 minutes?
How many miles did you put in for Mary Ellen today?
I didn't drive.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I rode.
You were chauffeured, though, right?
I was chauffeured around. I drove.
Okay.
I rode.
Same difference.
Is it?
I think so. If you're being chauffeured around for a woman or you're driving for a woman, it's the same destination.
No, if you have to drive to a woman, that's different than being chauffeured around with a woman.
So if you were a billionaire, you wouldn't be chauffeured to a woman, you would just drive to her?
No, I would be chauffeured to a woman, but there's nobody at this particular point that I want to be chauffeured to, I don't think.
Except for Mary Ellen.
Listen, I would do anything for Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen is just a wonderful lady. That's all I have to say. But no, you know what? I don't want to have to drive out of the city limits. Like, if I have to drive over to your neck of the woods, that's too much.
That's too much.
Too much work there.
You just end up throwing her in the old tangy.
Yes, sir. I got to get on 98, and this is a whole problem. And now I got some stoplights, and I got to go by the River Valley schools, the old schools there, and that's a whole problem. So I can't be doing that. No, that ain't going to happen. And I'm not driving to Cardington. I did that one time, and I went down the wrong street, and it was just too much. And I thought, geez, this isn't worth it. You have to be close. You have to be in my perimeter.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know. Does marriage... Obviously, you're married. like you're going to say no at this point. Does marriage work for you?
It works. I mean, it is a job, and you definitely have to work at it. And,
aren't you cynical, though, of people who are in their 40s who've been married and divorced 4 and 5 times?
Oh, yeah, no, totally. I think it'd be one and done for me. If it didn't work after one, that's it.
But see, I've learned over time, there are people who I know who have been married more than once, but I get their reasoning. Other people's, it's the age thing. Because, I mean, let's be nice and good people and say, people until they're 18 are not going to be married. Okay, so in your 40s, you're only like 20 years into this. You know? So if you've been married and divorced 3-4 times, whoa, pump the brakes.
Right.
I mean, that's...
Hey, this brings up another interesting question. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No problem.
Okay, let's say you were married for 20 years. And your spouse...
God, that's hard time.
Yeah, that's hard time. And your spouse died. Would you remarry? I want to hear Carrington. Like, do you think it is appropriate, or do you think if you are married to somebody, let's say you really loved them and you had a great marriage and everything, do you think it's appropriate to remarry?
I do, yeah. I mean, once the other person's gone, if you're at peace with that and you want somebody else and that's how you feel fulfilled and you have a missing void in your life and like you want to fill it, like I don't know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. The other person's dead, they're gone, they can't get upset at you.
Okay, Matt.
You know, I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't even think I could get married, if I'm being honest with you.
He's got a fear of rice being thrown at him.
Okay, so he's just saying he wouldn't. I couldn't hear him. He sounded like he was over in Caledonia or something.
Swimming in the Olentangy.
Swimming in the Olentangy. So what did he say?
I said, I don't think I could... I honestly don't know that I could get married anyways, so I'm not sure.
Okay, so you don't know. And
I think I was in Caledonia today. I was at River Valley.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Surprised the police didn't come pick me up.
I know.
They were out there. They were out there. Scanning people as we were driving up.
Whole thing.
They were trying.
Caledonia should give me money or something. I put on a whole little show for them this morning. I ran all around that auditorium.
Yeah, it sounds like you earned your paycheck.
I certainly did. The big money today.
So, Scott, how about you? Would you, assuming Scott Spears was no longer a bachelor, would you, and your beloved spouse passed away, would it be appropriate to marry again?
Appropriate and will you, I think, are two different things.
Appropriate.
How does she die? Do I kill her?
No, you surprisingly, no.
No, okay. She just dies normally.
Yes.
Well, you know...
But you did love her. You did love her.
It sounds like being paroled. It's not, you know, till death do you part, and all of a sudden the judge says, you know what, we're going to parole you. You had a life sentence, and we're going to commute that thing. So I think at that point, I would, you know, you can be around people, but you don't have to marry them. If you want to, knock yourself out, but for me, probably not. Once would probably be enough.
So it wouldn't be out of a sense of commitment or dedication after your partner died. It would just be
No, I think that fades with time, honestly. It's, you know, the longer somebody's gone, no matter who it is, I think you become detached.
Okay.
I think you do. I mean, I hate to say that, but I think that's with anybody who goes. The longer they're gone, and the longer you don't see them, and the longer you don't hear from them, it's just, I think, a detachment arises.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair enough.
Now, I'm not saying I would never be married, by the way. I you know, somebody's got to be there to pull the plug. So,
you have to get your nurse, right?
I have to get my nurse. There's nothing wrong with that. Somebody's got to be there in the end, you know? Make sure the will gets executed, all those things.
You could just wait until you're at hospice and just hit on one of those hospice nurses.
You know, once somebody's changed your diaper, I don't think that's a time to be asking for a date. I think that's a bad time for things. It's an interesting night. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. 740-383-9944. All right, anything more on this topic?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting married if your spouse dies.
I don't have any problem. Said. I'm just saying me. For me, it wouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, but, like, no judgment there. I don't think that counts
No, I don't judge that.
I've had
that.
4 or 5 marriages. Like, no, that's okay.
No, if they keep dying,
you're a victim of your circumstances.
If the engines are still
point.
Running, knock yourself out.
That's for sure.
I love this story, so we have to do it. I don't even know that it's a current event. We did it the other night on the TV show, but I love it, so we're going to do it again. This woman's in labor. She's married, and the baby's coming out. And she's in very painful natural labor. She decided to have natural childbirth. And at one point during her many-hour natural childbirth, she's screaming and yelling, and the husband's in the room, and he says to her, "Suck it up and stop screaming." Now, she lets this go, and the baby comes out, and everything's hunky-dory, and all is well. A couple years pass, and the guy has a kidney stone. He's in pain. And the wife says, "Suck it up and stop screaming." And he says, "You're being petty to hold on to that for 2 years and come back and say it." So the question is, was the woman petty?
Petty and justified. That's for sure.
Can you be both?
Yeah, yes. I think you can be both.
Really? You can be so I can do something petty, but still it's okay that I did it.
Yes.
Oh, that's different.
I think you're allowed to be petty sometimes.
I just think that it's petty that she waited so long. But, like, I mean, I think if she did it, like, sooner, it would have been more... I don't think it would have been petty then. I think it would have been just justified. But I think she just waited too long to carry out the punishment, you know?
This is a... God forbid, I'm going to say this is a woman thing. This would not be a man thing.
We would have done forgot about
yes,
it.
Yes, man would have forgot about it next day. Woman waits 2 years to put this quote back in action. The first time that man stubs his toe, suck it up and stop screaming, buddy. It's a little petty.
Hey, he's going to remember this now, though. He's going to remember when he
remembered it because he says you're being petty.
But that's fine. She can do that.
This is not a good relationship. Let me tell you, this poor kid.
Birthing his child, and he said, "Suck it up and stop screaming."
Can you imagine? Now, you're a woman. You can only face childbirth. Now, can you imagine being in natural childbirth, and the baby's coming out, and you're in there, and the doctors are there, and you have no drugs at all, and the man who's got you to this point turns to you and says, suck it up and stop screaming. I think that's a beautiful moment in the in the delivery room.
No, I would have been mad. But I don't think I would have done the natural thing and put myself
in
more
drugged.
Pain. Yeah, I would be drugged, I think.
Epidural City.
For sure.
I don't know. I think it's petty, and I don't. I understand where he's coming. He shouldn't have said that. I mean, it's wrong to do that.
Agreed. I don't think he should have said it by any stretch of the imagination. But I think she was once again justified in throwing it back at his face.
No.
But I don't think she should have waited 2 years.
No, she's not justified. If she wanted to have that conversation, have it the next day.
Don't wait two years
when the guy's got a kidney
but
stone.
But they just had their baby. Like she was like, you know, I don't want to fight about it. Like we're gonna go on.
But then let it go.
Angry, though.
Let it go.
It doesn't sound like she
let
was
it
angry.
Go.
She just like you
it
know.
It does to me.
No,
she tucked that away in her computer.
Yeah, she had to hold on to that for 2 years.
The quote.
She remembered it happened. She was, you know, like that was the moment. You know, you were talking about moments today at Mary Ellen Withrow's things, and you talked about the girl from the Jersey who, you know,
yeah,
had
that's a good
dollar.
Moment.
That's fine. It's still a moment you remembered because it was significant to you. And as this woman is birthing her child,
bad moments should not be significant.
He says, "Suck it up and stop screaming." That's a moment.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go find that girl at the Jersey. I'm not going to get a clipper in 6 weeks and say, "Hey, listen, you were rifling the money in here, weren't you?" No, that'd be petty. That'd be silly.
No, but this is different because that's just a random girl.
Aren't you that girl who rifled the money who I ran into at the Mary Ellen Withrow thing?
That's a random girl. This is your significant other. You got to see him every day. And that's what they said to you. Like, that's...
Yeah, right, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
But it's wrong to bring it up 2 years later.
But she didn't want to fight about it, it doesn't sound
then
like...
Then don't bring it
yeah,
up!
Yeah,
it's funny.
I don't know, I think she almost made it a bigger argument than what it
yes.
is because she brought it up two years later.
Now it's a story. Now it's you did this when I was in labor, I'm going to do this when you have a kidney stone, you're petty. Now it's a whole thing.
I mean... As long as I don't know.
This is a bad marriage.
You know, the whole thing we said. Well, I mean, actually, I think we even mentioned Norm and Mary Ellen. In order to have a marriage that works, you have to be supportive of one another.
You've
and that's,
got to.
And that's not how you do it.
No, that right there is bad news. That's a bad place to be in your relationship. And let me tell you, I don't know what it is about. I don't know. It's the DNA of the women. They, as I've said, listen, young people, men. Within earshot of this that may ever hear this program, I'm telling you, if a woman ever says never mind and you know you've done something wrong or to tick her off, do not let that never mind walk away from you, because that never mind will wake you up at 2 a.m. 3 years from now. That never mind will come back and you'll be having that never mind conversation at 3 a.m. guaranteed.
Well, they
why is
they
that
took their time to think on it and see what they wanted to say about it, I guess.
Like, you will say, like, you know, I don't really want your mom to come over and stay with us while she's on vacation. Okay. Are you upset? Never mind. 3 years later, mother's dead at this point. You remember when you wouldn't let my mom come, and now she's gone. And now you got to have that whole cup. What? Where? We got what? You don't even remember the darn thing. When was this? October 3rd, 1997. What?
Saying it goes, lives in infamy.
I don't know why that happens, but it does. Those never minds come back and get you.
I think they just like that. I think they just like to sit on it and wait for the perfect chance. But they also like the whole time they're just like figuring out how to weaponize it perfectly in their head.
You never say never mind. Don't say never mind. If you—that's me. Never mind. It's over.
Yeah, if you're gonna say never mind, you gotta let it go.
You can't at 3 years later at 3 a.m. be bringing that up.
Yeah, I think that the men have a responsibility to like read the room a little bit in this situation. Like, were you already arguing about it? Like, you could tell there was back and forth, and like you just weren't listening.
Oh
to
no,
their
I'm telling you, never mind and leave the room. That's coming back. Now you can be self-aware or not. That's coming back to you one
okay.
day.
Be self-aware. Go figure out what's going on.
Right,
talk about it then.
You follow a never mind.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Yep.
You,
the
you
moment
follow
you,
the never
the moment
mind.
You hear never mind, you better start asking more
that's
questions.
That's my advice to you, men. Follow the never mind. You think you're in love? You think that's a wonderful experience, you follow that never mind. If it gets in the car, you follow that never mind till it's not a never mind anymore.
I can agree with that. I'm behind that one. Follow up for sure.
Because she does not mean never mind. No woman in the history since Adam and Eve has ever meant never mind.
She's setting a trap.
That's a trap.
She's just feeling misunderstood and not heard, I think.
You've hurt my feelings, did I? Never mind. Forget it. You've hurt her feelings. You better fix that problem right now.
Like, the worst thing is when they let you know that they're upset with you, but they won't tell you why.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's
And that's a never mind, okay. too. What's wrong with you? Never mind.
No, that's not okay. That's not okay. I don't like that.
That never mind will come back and get you, too. You didn't like my macaroni salad. You really hurt my feelings. What? You remember. That's how it happens. It's very depressing. Remember when I asked how I looked and you said, "Eh, okay."
I don't love the shoes.
Yeah.
You got to be honest.
Never never let the never mind leave.
I like that. I think that women obviously have a responsibility to explain how they're feeling, but
suck it up and stop screaming. Don't let that leave.
Has to also stop be that responsive birth. Stop and
that
understand.
Birth. Have that doctor put his head on the hand and stop that our head and put his hand stop that thing for a second. We're gonna have to talk. Hold on, this baby ain't coming out until we have a little conversation. We gotta get through this thing first.
She waited for the perfect moment to have her conversation.
2 years later.
I just love this delivery room. That's love
the
right there.
The kidney stone, that's so funny because people have said that that's comparable to childbirth pain-wise.
I've never had either, but I don't think so.
My mom had both, and she said it's worse.
Well, okay. I don't know.
The kidney stone or
yeah.
the childbirth?
Yeah, the kidney stone. I think a lot of people, like, kidney stones are
but
pretty
some
painful.
People drop those babies out. Like, I know women who, they sneeze and the baby's out. It's very strange.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah,
kazoom tight. Oh, there's a baby.
There was a lady at work.
10 pounds, 6 ounces.
Who worked at the other Kroger in Marion recently, and she had a baby. And I was talking to her on the phone because she had to put a prescription back, and I knew she was pretty pregnant. I was asking her, I was like, oh, is the baby coming anytime soon? And, you know, she was like, oh, it's supposed to be 2 more weeks, but, like, I don't know if it's going to be that long or anything. And I was like, oh, if you wait another few days, you can have it on leap day. She had the baby hours later. She went to the hospital after she got her husband, and she said, okay, let's have the baby, and it was like an hour or two later. Baby.
Some women tell you pregnant is very easy because the baby just plops on out, but talk to a woman who's had a C-section. They aren't so thrilled with it.
Well, that was like her fourth kid, too, so I think it gets easier each time you do it, I've heard.
I don't know.
I don't know, for sure.
Never been in that ship, but
I think at that point you just know what to expect. It's like you're just a veteran at that. You're seasoned.
Like, here we go again.
That just makes perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bottom line, I don't think this man should have said it. I'm not justifying that he said that in the delivery room.
Agreed.
But it's done. It should have never been brought back up. It is petty, and you can't justify something that's petty.
Petty, but yet justifiable.
Petty means not justifiable. You can do it. It doesn't mean you can't justify.
I'm going to be petty.
But you can't say, I'm going to be petty today and think that's the right thing to do. Be petty.
Does petty not just mean like small and indistinguishable?
I think small and insignificant.
Yes, of little importance, trivial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insignificant.
Yeah.
So why would that ever be considered the right thing to do?
Because it was funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
She thought it was funny.
She wanted to.
I don't think she did.
You know, she was like, oh, here, you know.
Yeah. And he certainly didn't find it funny coming back at him 2 years later.
No, he didn't. He wanted empathy. But I bet she wanted empathy in that delivery room.
Yeah,
so
but they
should have
worked that stuff out then. Listen.
He should have never said it.
Right, I agree with that. I'll give you that 100%. And she shouldn't have said it.
But I think two
But
years
the ship sailed. What, an hour passes, it's over.
They were in the heat of the moment. She was having the baby. You don't have a good time.
I don't know.
I
just feel like once an argument's over, like I feel like if, like so. Say me and Scott were having this like I don't know big heated argument, right? And then like
we had that earlier today.
Yeah. And then
abortion.
And then
yeah.
And then yeah. And then like all of a sudden like an hour goes by, and at that point I don't even know why you would want to bring it back up.
Wouldn't.
In one ear and out the other.
I always say during the breaks of the Exchange Club we do, which is a panel show at noon, and during the breaks of this show, no matter what we're arguing, when the break happens, we're not even usually talking about that topic anymore. It's gone.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is.
I mean, you can still remember things. She wasn't, like, angry about it. It doesn't sound like
Do you harbor? You're the girl.
It.
Do you harbor?
Yeah, I think I have a tendency to harbor sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. I can be so
honest. At least you'll be honest
that.
About it, yeah.
I can admit
but
that.
I'm glad you can be honest about it, so yeah. You harbor.
Sometimes, yes.
Do you think you harbor?
I mean, not anything off the top of my head that I can think of, so probably not. But
I don't think I harbor. No. I remember, but I don't think I would bring it up to somebody as a negative.
Yeah, it's just kind of like one of those things like forgive, not forget.
Yeah.
I think if I'm upset about something, I bring it up pretty quickly within a few days, though. Like,
Be honest, like as we close out this fascinating program, and this has been fascinating, when the guy says something to you negative and you say never mind, is it really never mind?
No, but I'm going to talk it out. I'm going to talk it out.
Checkmate.
I want to talk about it. So.
Checkmate. Then why do you say never mind?
Because we've been talking about it for 2 hours and their small brains can't comprehend what I'm saying. That's why you say never mind.
Take a shot. Take a shot. All right. On this historic Mary Ellen Withrow Day, 2024, 30th anniversary, it's only going to happen once. What have you learned today, Matt?
Today I learned that Carrington holds grudges and that she would, in fact, throw something back in your face after 2 years.
I could have told you that. I could have told you that. We had that moment. You and I have had a moment where you held a little something against me and you plopped it back up. I said, what? Remember, it was during the time. I think that's on tape somewhere. Remember this?
Yeah. Oh, is this the thing when she like accused you of saying something on air that you weren't supposed to say on air?
No, it wasn't that. No.
It was the picture thing.
The picture thing. We were having the argument about the picture thing.
Yes.
And you went back to something that had happened prior.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember.
What was it? See, they just have minds for this. I don't understand it.
Well, we were talking about the picture thing, and it was that you hadn't responded to me, and
that's the argument we're having at the time. Right?
Yeah. Was it just that you like previously hadn't responded to me? I don't know. I feel like
Then all of a sudden came up, and you never respond
to
me.
There's like several weeks.
It's never been brought up.
Emails
and you never do it, and you won't give me this and that. I'm thinking, what?
Well, she also brought up the knitting needles.
Oh yeah, the knitting needle.
That was what it was.
That's been recently. Knitting needle was.
It was a crochet hook.
Was December.
Crochet hook.
Never has said a word about the crochet hook. Though we're talking first week of December here, and all of a sudden we're into like the last week of February having a conversation about phone etiquette, and all of a sudden, and where's my crochet hook? That was a never mind. A never mind came back 2.5 months later.
There was never a never mind. You said, I'll get you the...
Why haven't you asked for it if it's been on your mind?
I don't know. I asked for it last week and I haven't gotten it. Where is it?
What do you think? I'm ransoming this thing? I was waiting for you to come over and make waffles and I'll give you the crochet hook and it'll be fine.
Perfect. That sounds...
What do you think? I threw it away? I got it.
No, I thought you had it somewhere. I was just like, where's the crochet hook?
Isn't that really... I hate to get into this as we're closing up shop. Isn't that really your fault, though, because you left it in the car?
It's my fault.
So why do I get the blame?
I'm not blaming you. I'm just... You said I would get it back. I was like, hey, it's been a couple
months. I haven't thrown it away.
That's fine. I'm not upset. No. I have other crochet hooks.
Okay.
That's fine.
But why'd you bring that up in the middle of our... That's not a good time to bring that up in the middle of a disagreement.
I don't know. It just came to me.
It came to me in that moment. What have you learned? Matt learned that you carry a grudge.
I learned that the speaker system at River Valley needs to either be turned up or improved because... That was quiet.
That's a pleasant kid taking a dig at River Valley.
They're never going to let you back in the building.
The rivalry goes on. You'll be as well liked in Caledonia as I am at this particular point.
I might.
Yeah, it's a whole thing over there. You know what I learned today? I learned that whether we're arguing or putting on a show or doing whatever, it's fun.
We do have a good time.
We have a good time. And no matter what people think is going on, it is a good time. It's always a good time. So that's great, and that's a good note. That's the best thing I think you can say. And you know what? That was what Mary Ellen Withrow, at the end, if you didn't get to see the video that we showed 5 times to 2,500 people, the last question is, how do you want to be remembered? I had a good time.
Yep.
And I think that's, you will never remember what people say, and you'll never remember what people do, but you're going to remember how they make you feel.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing. If they made you feel important, if they made you feel wanted, if they made you feel like you had a good time, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, on that note, this is a deep show. Yeah, before we get out of here, we got to do something. Hey, suck it up and stop screaming. We'll just throw that in there. I don't know. You can never mind me.
He just wants us to fight right now.
No, we're at the end. It's been a great, great day. What fun we've had. And thank you to everybody who participated in making it a great, great couple days. It has been fun and historic. For Carrington and Matt, Scott Spears, for this Mary Ellen Withrow Day 30th anniversary of the Swearing In, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Here on The Talking Place.
We are strong. We are resilient. And we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is